Oh, it is always good to be back home with our church family, for sure. I mean, it's good to get away, right? But there's nothing like being back home. And I know today is the day after Valentine's Day. Nobody forgot that, did they? I did, kind of. But I was on vacation, right? I mean, I have an excuse. We had the best Valentine's Day because we had our grandkids with us. Well, half of them. So there you go. But today is the day after Valentine's Day, and as I was seeking the Lord each and every day on vacation, He just put this message on my heart. And though it is the day after Valentine's Day, I really feel led to share with you about God's amazing, unfailing love. I mean, when I look out in the world, when I get the opportunity to walk alongside my brothers and sisters in the faith, I know it is so easy to get caught up in all that's going on in our world. It is so easy to get caught up in the craziness that is happening in our world. We get caught up in it so much that it can really begin to weigh heavy on our hearts and spirit, right? I've watched so many tears fall in my life. I want to show you a picture of something that I haven't been able to get out of my head and my spirit ever since I saw it. So I'm going to have Trent bring that picture up. And it's just something that I wasn't able to unsee. Now, I don't... They put this on Facebook, so I'm guessing that means they want the whole world to see it. So I can use it, right? Okay, good, good. Just making sure no legalities here. I'm going to get a phone call. Anyway, so in this picture, I don't know if you can see it very well. Andrew did a very good job of blowing this thing up, and there's a lot of things happening here. First off, let me just tell you, this was in one of the walkouts that happened at this was Franklin High School. The kids that walked out in protest or whatever. You know, protest, do whatever you want, whatever. If God, you know, puts it on your heart or if you have a conviction, so be it. No problem with that. However, when I saw this and I started to look at this picture in detail, I see this young lady that is holding a sign that says, "Even Jesus would never forgive what you do." Now, even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Now, there are so many wrongs in this picture, but I'm not going to get into all of that because I'm not at all opposed to people standing up for their convictions. But I am opposed to mistruths being shared. You see, I'm not blaming this young lady, this girl, for her ignorance. I'd love to sit down and talk to her, to be honest. I'm not blaming her for her ignorance. Here's the thing that I couldn't get out of my spirit is whoever is misleading this young lady truly. Those people will stand before God and give an account for their misleading. Because that sign is absolutely 100% false. It is false. I mean, Romans 14, 10 through 13 says this, "You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." Every single one of us. "It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way." Now, this passage encourages believers not to judge others because why? Everyone must give, right? Everyone must give an account to God for their own actions. You know, Matthew 12:36 says this, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have ever spoken." Every careless word. I mean, come on, brothers and sisters. You get mad. You get mad at your spouse. You get mad at your kids. You get mad at your coworker, whatever. And you let something just fly out of your mouth, you'll give an account for it. You give an account for every careless word that comes out of your mouth. God's word in Matthew indicates that individually, okay, we will give an account for every careless word we have ever spoken. How about Hebrews 4:13? "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." Church, God's word reminds us that everything is exposed before God, to whom we must give an account. Everyone will give an account. And let's not forget about what Jesus said about hate in our hearts. There's a lot of that these days. Wouldn't you agree? There's a lot of hate. You know, I have no problem for someone speaking up and standing up for their convictions. Totally. That's between you and God. But when there's hate in your heart, there's a much bigger problem. When you hate the people that you're standing up against, there's a problem. You can hate what they do, okay? I'll talk about that here in a moment. You can hate what they do, but you can't hate them. You can't tear them down. It says right here in 1 John 3:15, "Anyone who hates a brother is a murderer." Okay? That means you've committed a sin. That means you've broken one of the Ten Commandments, to have hate in your heart. Okay? "Anyone who hates a brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." You know, I don't believe you can be a believer and have the Holy Spirit living in you and have hate in your heart. It's totally contradictory, wouldn't you agree? Completely contradictory. Hate the sin, not the sinner, right? And Jesus reminds us all the time that, you know, if you got one finger, you're pointing one finger at someone, there's about 5 or 10 pointing back at you for the wrongs that you do, and I do on a daily basis. Church, I must remind us, if there is hate in your heart, you are no better than the murderer who commits physical murder in God's eyes. That's just the reality. If you have hate in your heart, you're no better than someone who commits physical murder. Sin is a sin. Now, if you hate the act of murder, that's a whole different ballgame, right? If you hate the act of murder, now we're talking about a very different concept, because God hates sin. It's in Revelation 2:6. Says this, "But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Just so you know, God isn't saying, "I hate the Nicolaitans." He hates the practices of the Nicolaitans. These were people who were in church that went out and lived their lives the way they wanted to live their lives, and they sinned against God. And they sinned, and they sinned, and they sinned. And God doesn't like sin. Matter of fact, He hates sin. I mean, why did He send Jesus? He hates sin so much that He had to send His one and only Son to come to earth to live and to die and to eventually be raised again, right? So that he would conquer sin and death once and for all. So let me just kind of talk to you just for a moment about this girl that's holding this sign. I mean, how would God respond to, how did God respond to every sinner that was and is to come? Every sinner, that's you and me, that's the girl holding the sign, right? It's the people that you think are doing the most awful things in our world, right? I mean, we could sit here and talk all day about all these awful things, but let me tell you how God responds. He doesn't respond the way we respond. Not at all. No, God responds with his unfailing love. You see, how does God respond when life is chaotic and seemingly out of control? A world that seems to be out of control. The first thing I want you to write down is this: God responded with his unfailing love. You see, God responds with his unfailing love. Now, the Hebrew word for God's unfailing love is hesed. Okay? It is defined as a steadfast love, a covenantal love, right? It is an unconditional love that never fails. I'm guessing if you've lived any kind of life, you've experienced a love that you thought was love that has failed. Not God's love. No, God's love is an unfailing love. Okay? You see, even when human beings falter, we just sang it, right? When the world falls apart, when human beings falter and they fall short of God's expectation, which happens all the time, wouldn't you agree? God's response is to respond with his unfailing love. You see, it is a love that is not based on our performance, but on his grace. It is a love that endures forever. It provides security. It provides security to the one who has placed his or her faith and trust in him and in his love. I would go on to say that anyone who has truly experienced God's unfailing love will live and respond differently in their life. They love differently, right? We love those who hurt us rather than hate them. Doesn't mean that we like what they did. Doesn't mean that we love what they did. But God did say throughout his Bible, his whole word, we are to hate the sin, but love the sinner. And when we love the sinner, it causes us to live differently, right? There's so much hate in our world. I mean, I get it. I mean, I've talked to so many people that are about just to check out, and I get it. Check out. There's hate everywhere. You can't even... I can't scroll through my Facebook feed at this point. Maybe I've got way too many friends, I don't know. But I can't scroll through my Facebook without seeing hate. It's just there, it's everywhere. Hate. 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 This person hates this and this and all these things. It's out of control. And the reality is there is so much hate in our world. Catch this. Murder is at an all-time high in our world, right? I mean, truly, you don't have to have a gun. You don't have to have a knife. You don't have to shed blood to commit murder, according to Jesus. No, there's so much hate in our world that murder is at an all-time high. But I have a question for you this morning. Do you believe in God's unfailing love? I mean, have you been touched by God's unfailing love? If you have, then we have so much work to do in this life. We do. We should be sharing and we should be extending God's love to a world that is in obvious need of that love, right? I mean, why do I respond differently today than I did before Jesus? Well, it's because of Jesus. It doesn't mean that I don't still get a little heated. Doesn't mean that I don't still get a little angry. But how I respond is totally because of God. Because I want to glorify Him in all that I do, right? We see a world that's hating each other. Everywhere. And they're hating people. And what they don't see is there's an enemy that is in the background just loving every minute of it. Because people are hating people rather than hating the actual act of sin. And it just keeps getting worse. And it keeps getting worse. But you see, everyone in our world wants... But I am also convinced that everyone in our world wants a world full of love, right? They do commercials about it. They sing about it. Yet their actions say a different thing. You see, everyone in our world wants a world full of love, but my friends, I'm here to tell you, it can never happen without God in our world and in our society. It cannot and it will not happen. You can't push God out of things and have a world full of love. You can't. I think the world is proving that day in and day out. Wouldn't you agree? We're talking about hate more than we're talking about love in our world. So I want to encourage you, though, this morning. Because that's not really what my message is about. But it is a response to what that is all about. You see, I want to encourage you this morning with God's unfailing love. It is a love that we long for in our spirits. It is a love that the world needs to rest in our world, right? The next thing I want you to write down is this. God's love is an unwavering love. I want to read to you from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, just two verses 22 and 23, says this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Church, I get why our spirits are so heavy in the world in which we live. I mean, when life seems to be chaotic and it seems like things are out of control, right? I want you to do one thing. I want you to remember God's love. I want you to remember God's love. This means that no matter what is going on in your life right this minute, no matter what is happening in the world in which we live, no matter how much people are fighting about what they think is right, what they think is wrong, and no matter how much they judge you for being on one side or the other, I want you to remember that God's love is steady when life is chaotic. Okay? And because God's love is an unwavering love, His word says, we will not be consumed by this craziness. I mean, has anyone here felt like they've been consumed by all the craziness? I mean, there's people who don't even know if they can speak anymore. I mean, they're so consumed, they're ready to check out, throw in the towel. hunker down in their houses and just stay there forever. God's people aren't called to do that, just so you know. That's the last thing God's people should be doing. We don't retreat. We get busy. We get busy at sharing God's unwavering love. But in order to share it, you got to remember it, right? You got to remember it in your own life. You've got to know about this love that God has extended to you and to a world that is in complete chaos right now. And because God's love is unwavering, we remember that we will not be consumed. We will not be consumed. We may feel like we are being consumed. But let me just tell you something about that. Anyone feel like they've been being consumed by life situations, or the chaos in the world? You ever feel like you've been consumed? You want to check out, you want to throw in the towel, you want to just get rid of it all, you want to get away from it all. You ever felt that way? Just throw in a towel. We want to throw in the towel on our marriages. We want to throw in the towel on our families. We want to throw in the towel on our churches. We want to throw in the towel on a world that looks like it's going straight to hell. But you want to know what? When you feel that way, it's a sign. It's a sign in your life. It's a sign that you need to go and rest in your Savior's presence. You know, how many of us do that? We reach for a lot of different things when we get stressed out and we get anxious. But the one place you should go is to Jesus. You see, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn! God's people, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, unfortunately, most people respond by what they think is best for the situation, when they really need to just rest in the presence of God first and then respond. I learned that the hard way a long time ago when dealing with my teenage kids. They were always doing something that got me crazy. They were always doing something that I felt like was wrong. And you know what I did whenever they did wrong? I responded quick, which was the wrong thing to do. You see, the reality is there's going to be a lot of wrongs going on around us. But we don't have to respond immediately. We have to rest in Jesus. Come to this place of being, right, at peace, and then respond to the situation. You see, most people don't respond that way. They respond from their worldly ideas or their worldly upbringing, and all it does is bring more hurt. And the reality is, if we face, let's just face it this morning, the response may be the right response. But if it is absent of God's unwavering love, then what good is it? It leads nowhere. You see, what happens is when we don't respond with God's unwavering love, It becomes a temporary victory at best. You see, the chaos is still going on. There's no change. The chaos is still going on around you, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, I put my foot down, and or I responded this way to that coworker, I responded this way to a world, and yet the chaos is still going on, right? It's still going on. There's no change. I mean, my Spotify went to a song this week that just caught. It's an old song, I mean, it's not even a Christian song, but you know, you start looking at these songs and a lot of them have a lot of really interesting and cool ideas. And this song is called What About Me, I think, it was the song. And it talks about where, you know, after they talk about the little boy that's at the counter and the little girl that's at the counter and the world around them all going crazy and chaotic. And but then all of a sudden, the songwriter sings about, I stand out on the corner and a world is just going away. Nobody's been changed and nobody's been saved. It really kind of caught my attention because I think about this a lot. It's like, you know, I spend a lot of time with a lot of people and I'm out in a world that's chaotic and it's crazy. And you know, and I think about these walkouts and these things that are happening. And, you know, in all honesty, you could go there and you could say, well, you know what, I'll just do the opposite of them. And what does that do? Nothing. It does nothing. No, we have to love like Jesus loved, right? If we want change in a world, we got to start being the hands and feet of Christ. We got to start loving the way Jesus loved us. I mean, church, if you're going out into your world, okay, let's just bring this down to your world. Because we all come here together in one world and we all go to different worlds, right? I mean, that's just the reality. I want to be in your world. I do. I want to walk with you in your world, and I will. You call me, I'm going to be there. Promise. But let me ask you something. When you walk into your world, are people being changed? Are people being saved? When you walk into your world, or are you just part of that song, I see this world passing me by. Nobody's been changed. Nobody's been saved. Church, this is so important because I see the church wanting to check out right now. This is when the church needs to be checking in. It really does. We're about ready to lose generations of kids, generations of people. And the church are sitting in their pews Sunday morning. Yeah, I'm here. I'm worshiping Jesus. And then I'm going into my world and I'm doing nothing. Has God's unwavering love touched you? It should be an unwavering love that you extend to others. If it changed you, it certainly, I mean, I think about this all the time. If God's love changed me, it can change anybody. It truly can. I don't know that there was anybody worse than me when it came to the selfishness. Changed my life completely. Now again, I don't know if you know this or not, the chaos isn't going anywhere in our world. And you are a child of God, and you are not called to check out. You are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of the chaos. And we are reminded in the book of Lamentations, right, that the Lord's compassions never fail. Never. The Lord's compassions never fail. Church, God's compassions are not based on how well or how terrible you are navigating through the struggles in this life. It is not. Life is not easy. Amen? It's not. It's not easy. It is not. And if somebody told you that it was going to be easy after you became a Christian, they lied to you. Because it only gets tougher. It only gets tougher. And the reality is, at any given time, we are going to feel overwhelmed, right? We are going to feel overwhelmed. We are going to feel like we want to throw in the towel. But we don't, because we rest in God's unwavering love. We don't rest in whether things work out or not, right? We don't rest in whether they work out. Look, whether something works out or not is not a sign that you are following God or not. Because things don't work out all the time. But the way I navigate through it says a lot about who I am in Him and whether or not I'm allowing His unwavering love to impact my life, right? We don't rest in whether things work out or not. We rest in God's unwavering love. Why? Well, because His love is unwavering. I mean, it doesn't change. His love is steady, right? His love is unchanging. His love is constant. Even when you feel alone, anyone ever felt alone? Guaranteed it. Guarantee we feel alone. But even when we feel alone, God will never leave you and He will never forsake you. When others leave you or ignore you, God promises to never abandon you. That is God's unwavering love. It doesn't change. Have you felt that love this morning? I sure hope you have. You see, His love brings healing. His love brings healing even when you have been hurt the worst. God's love provides peace to the anxious heart, peace to the weary soul, right, that wants to give up. And God's love heals the broken heart. He does. That's what He does. That's what His love does. Because His love is a secure foundation. In a world of temporary affection, right? God's love is a reliable constant that provides hope and strength to overcome the day of obstacles, right? It doesn't mean that my day is going to go great or smooth, but I know that God's going to be with me no matter what. I can put a smile on my face all day, every day because of that one truth right there. Life throws curveballs. Life throws all kinds of things at us. But God's love, I promise you, God's unwavering love never changes. And one last thing from Lamentation, God's love and compassion is new every morning, it says, right? New every morning. So you had a rough day. I had a bad day. Da, 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 da. Yeah, something like that. Trying to get a little perkiness out of you. So you've had a rough day, right? But today's a new day. And God's unwavering love is ready to carry you through this day. You know, I get it. Things are going to be rough. And they're going to be challenging. But God's unwavering love is here and it's forever. So if I could just make a suggestion. Rest in His love this morning. You do not need to strive to earn His love. You don't need to do that. You are already loved beyond measure. Do you believe that this morning? You don't have to do anything to earn His love. You didn't have to come to church this morning to earn His love. You didn't. I hope that you come to church in response to His love. Right? I mean, that's what it's all about. Because you being here doesn't make Him love you any less or any more. Okay? But we need to rest in His love. You do not need to strive to earn it. You need to pray and confess. You see, God's love is always willing to forgive and always willing to cleanse us and give us a fresh new start. There's days when I got to get many fresh starts. You know, It just is what it is, but I am so thankful for a God who loves me anyway. Amen? You need to reflect on God's Word. You know, when the doubts come creeping into your life, use God's Word to remind yourself of His great and precious promises. Do you know His great and precious promises to you? The only way you're going to know them is if you're in His Word. You got to be in His Word, and then rely on God's unwavering love to be the anchor, to be your anchor throughout your day, every day, no matter what comes your way. Okay? Number two, write this down. God's love is an unstoppable love. It is an unstoppable love. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are all considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but in these times that we are in, I need to be reminded of this right here. I do. I need to be reminded of this right here. I need to be reminded that God's love is an unstoppable love. There is nothing that can stop God's love. Amen? Nothing. So when things don't work out in your life, And something doesn't go your way, God's still going to love you. His love is there. His love is there to consume you. His love is there to carry you through to get through the day, even when you feel like the wind has been taken out of your sails. See, the problem is we focus too much on worldly love, and we focus too much on earthly circumstances and not enough on the love that never changes. God's love. God's unstoppable love, I might add. You see, if you're not quite on board yet, if you don't believe, just listen to God's Word. If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, think about that. What does this mean? If God is for us, who can be against us? What does this mean? Well, it means first and foremost, God is for you. Do you believe that this morning? God is for you, right? God is for you. I want to make sure you heard me. God is for you. You know, a lot of times we get so bogged down with the ugliness in our lives. We get so bogged down with all these things that are happening. We get bogged down in a world that we walk through and we just think, man, God, if you could just get rid of all those other people, it would just be great for me. But in the midst of all that craziness, you need to be reminded that God is for you. You see, we have a God on our side who didn't spare His own Son. That's what the Scripture says, right? He didn't spare His own Son, but He gave Him up for who? For you and for me. There ain't none of you do that for me. But God did. God did that for me. You see, he did not spare his own son, but he gave him up so that I could have, so that I could experience his unstoppable love. Right? So if God gave his one and only son for you, don't you think he will provide everything you will ever need in your daily life? Everything. Every single thing you will need. It says, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He will, and he does. You see, it is an unstoppable love that brings, also it says, brings no condemnation from the world. Right? Because Jesus died, because Jesus rose again, and he is now doing what? Sleeping? No! He's not sleeping. He's at the right hand of God interceding for us. You know what that means? He is at the right hand of God interceding for those who are his. That's what the word says. No charges or condemnation can stand against us. No, not at all. Romans 8, 33 through 34. Whom will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? We talked about this months ago. Everyone's been chosen. Whether or not you received the choosing, that's between you and God. Because what he chose to do is send his son so that the world would be saved. We have to put our faith and trust in him in order to be his. It says, for whom God has chosen, it is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? The world? No. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Church, we live in a world that cannot stand Christians. I want you to know that. Somehow on a ship it works. I don't know. Probably because everybody's so intoxicated. But I can tell you this right now. There are a lot of people that do not like Christians. They don't want them praising Jesus. They don't want them praying. They don't want you praying for them. They don't want anything to do with Christians. We live in a world full of those people. The world cannot stand, I'm going to tell you, the world cannot stand what we stand for. The world cannot stand the one that we live for. But may I remind us today that the world cannot condemn. The world can't. Only Jesus can condemn. Have you put your faith and trust in him? No matter how awful the world says you are some days, the world can't condemn you. Only Jesus can condemn you. But not only that, who or what can come against you with Jesus at the right hand of God interceding for you? Who can? Nobody. Nobody can come against you. Nobody. Now, I get it. You feel like they are. Man, Lord, it just feels like everything is coming against me. No, they're not. No, maybe things are just falling right into place. Maybe it's to move you. Maybe it's to move you into this direction. Do you ever think about that? I need you to hear this, church. Yesterday, I got off the ship. And I'm looking at this big ocean. And I'm thinking, I was out there on that ocean for 7 days. No one around, just in a boat. Well, then I got off the ship, was looking at the big ocean. I'm walking. I get in this big Greyhound bus. I get on the big Greyhound bus to be bused to the Orlando airport, 50 minutes away, to get on a plane to go to fly home. If any of you have spent any time with me, you know how much I love flying. Not. Now, obviously, I can stand before you and say I made it here safe. Some would say you were lucky to have had such a great series of events happen. But as I thought about those things, as I'm flying through the air and I'm thinking about that big boat that a lot of people won't go on because they can't swim. They won't fly because they can't fly. And they don't get on big buses because, well, who knows about the driver? You see, every step of the way yesterday, I realized something. I have a God and Savior who's looking out for me. I mean, I've heard people say they were lucky that they received the right doctor for, you know, for whatever they were going through. You know, could it be that God led you to the doctor who would give you the best care? You see, people say that they were lucky that the right person came along at just the right time. No, you know what? The book I study and read and live by, you're not going to find luck anywhere in it. No, you know, I'm getting stronger in my travels, I'll say, because I know who's in control. You see, I'm here to tell you today, church, that you have a Savior and a Lord that is over all things. Do you believe that this morning? You have a Savior and Lord that is over all things. He loves you. He is at the right, He's right next to God, extending this unstoppable love through intercession on your behalf. He is. He's fighting your battles. Every day when you get up, you have an enemy that doesn't want you to get through the day. But you have a God who wants you to get through the day and will provide everything that you need to get through the day. Not through substances or through other things, no, through His unstoppable love. I mean, did you ever think that this unstoppable love was working on your behalf even when you didn't deserve it? I mean, maybe you put yourself in a place that you were never intended to be. If the world would have known, if the world would have known what you did, they would have crucified you and your character right on the spot, right? But somehow, some way, you were protected by this unstoppable love. Why? Because maybe God has a plan for your life. Maybe God wants to show you how much He loves you and how faithful He is, that He has saved you and He is going to get you to the end of this race here on earth so that you can fall into His arms. He's doing it, right? He's doing it. He's the one carrying what He started in you out to completion. Not you and not me. No, God does it. Why? Because His love's unstoppable. And it truly is an unstoppable love. Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that this morning? Are you hearing me this morning? Church, nothing, including death, life, angels, demons, present fears, or future anxieties, nothing can separate you from God's unstoppable love. Well, I guess there's one person that can. You. You can choose to walk away from His unstoppable love. But I don't know why you would. It would be the craziest decision you ever made. Right? If you choose not to rest in His unstoppable love, then all these things can overtake you in this life. You can feel overburdened. You can feel this weight that does not get lifted, right? You feel all these things. Why are you carrying it? Why? It's not yours to carry. It's not. Jesus wants it. He's ready to take it. Are you going to give it to Him? Or are you going to keep carrying it? His unstoppable love is amazing, and His unstoppable love is for you. It is. Again, do you fear death? Why? Jesus conquered it, right? Do you fear life? Maybe. But why? Jesus already conquered life. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. What's that mean? Trouble. Cancer. Marital problems, hate, political unrest, family divisions. Should I go on? It says, Jesus said you're going to have trouble. In this world you will have trouble. But then He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Because of Jesus and His unstoppable love, you do not need to fear anything in this life, church. You don't. And because of this unstoppable love, Romans 8:37, know in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're not church. Church, I've been here so many times where I felt like I was just surviving. I was just surviving. I'm just waiting for God to take me home. That's not the way I'm supposed to live. No, God didn't call us to just survive day-to-day life. He did not. He did not. We are not just surviving day-to-day life while we're here on earth. God didn't call us to just survive in this life. God made us, what? More than conquerors. He made us more than conquerors through His unstoppable love. We are triumphing, right? We are victorious over whatever trouble comes our way in this day, day in and day out, because nothing can separate us from God's unstoppable love. Do you believe that this morning? Nothing. So when you're going into the doctor this week or whatever, God's love's still there with you no matter what the doctor says. And He's already conquered death, and He's already conquered life. Have you put your faith in Him? Have you received His unstoppable love through Jesus Christ? The question becomes, are you resting in that unstoppable love? And the challenge is for us to live in confidence, knowing that God has made you more than conquerors through His amazing, unstoppable love. One last thing I want to share with you this morning. I want you to write down anyway, because we're going to close this out by reading God's Word together, and because I'm right at time, over a little, but I'm back! Anyway, one last thing I want you to write down is God's love endures forever. And what we're going to do is, I've been thinking a lot, about this. I want you to turn to Psalm 136. 136, and we're gonna read that in just a moment. And but just to give you a little background, this psalm repeats something that I think we all need to have sink into our souls. Okay? And that is, His love endures forever. Okay? It doesn't say that His love only shines when you're being the perfect little Christian boy or girl. It doesn't say that. No, God's love is a faithful love. Unlike human love, God's love is truly not based on performance. It is a persistent commitment that endures even when you falter. That's the thing. Now, this isn't a message to say just keep on sinning. No, but when you stumble and you fall, God's love is still there. Okay? His love is there ready to pick you back up. That's the thing. A lot of times when we stumble and we fall, we want to get away from those we've stumbled and fell against, right? We don't want to look at them. No, God wants us. He loves us because His love endures forever. What I'm going to ask is that, is everybody got Psalm 136? Good. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to stand. So get them, stand up. You know, one of the things that God has really been putting on my heart as of late is reverence. You know, it's not reverent to sit and talk to God, right? When we sit, we should stand before God. That is a respect thing as we are reading His Word. So we're going to read through 136 to close out this day, this morning, I guess. And I'm going to read the verses, and you're going to read the italicized, which is His love endures forever. Yes, very good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God, give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. That's a song. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder. And brought Israel through the midst of it. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the desert. Who struck down great kings. I know. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to His servant Israel, to the one who remembered us in our low estate, and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Okay. Now that could just be something that you recite. Or it could be something that you come to believe. You know, there are days when I'm sure God looks down and just shakes His head. But He still loves me. You see, I want to encourage you today on this day after Valentine's Day. You never have to worry. You never have to worry that God's love is going to run out on you, because it's not. It's not. His love for you flows from a deep well that will never run dry. And because of that love, don't you think God deserves our praise? He deserves our praise because His love never ends. People come and go. People fall short of what we think they should be or shouldn't be. But His love endures forever. This is God's love for you. And God's love is proven in His Word. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for this church family. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you as I serve them. God, I do pray that over the next several moments, days, weeks, months, that your love would consume each and every one of us. And your love would spur us on to not retreat from the world, but that it would cause us to run into the world, to share you with the world. God, I know that change can come. But God, it does not come through signs and hate. Change comes through your amazing love and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You don't need to stand because you're already standing. And now may the Lord bless you, and I pray that He keeps you. I pray that He reveals Himself to you in the week ahead. His promise is, if you seek Him, you will find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. Go in peace, be blessed, and glorify God this week. In Jesus' name, amen.